Christine Bohannon, Chief Deputy Circuit Clerk for the Carroll County Western District, opens a heavy old book of records titled Mining Claims.
And this book is from 1896 to 1899. The exclusive right to hold, prospect, and mine upon the following described land in the Western District of Carroll County.
These turn of the 20th century speculators were looking to likely cash in on zinc and lead surface deposits, back then big business on the northwestern Ozarks Plateau. But with the companies long defunct and the individuals long dead, do the subsurface rights go back to the current property owner? The answer is no. So how do we find out if we in fact own the ground beneath our house, our farm, our forest? This is where we get to peer down the rabbit hole.
Usually, it's not done because it's an expensive process.
Charles Morgan of Dunn, Nutter & Morgan, based in Texarkana, Texas, represents both the oil and gas industry as well as individuals in real estate law. He's the top expert in his field. He says the only way to determine if you own your mineral rights is to search the history of your parcel's legal activities, the property abstract.
To build an abstract that goes all the way back to the late 1880s, 1890s, and that's usually when we see some of our first mineral reservations or mineral conveyances can be back that far. But starting back that far to build an abstract may cost a landowner several thousand dollars.
But Morgan said oil and gas companies who prospect for lucrative mineral estates pay lots of money to so-called landmen.
And sometimes some landmen will work backwards. There's two ways to do it, and you just have to be careful that you catch all the instruments. But all of the deeds and all the mortgages are going to be filed of record in the office of the circuit clerk in each county.
You can also check the county tax assessor's office on forfeiture of mineral estates.
If the surface gets forfeited, anybody can bid it in by being the high bidder. But if you're dealing with forfeited minerals, only the surface owner gets to pay, and all he's got to pay is the taxes, penalty, and interest.
But again, most owners are not even aware of their mineral rights. If you live in a mineral-rich area of the state, that could be a real financial liability. The Arkansas River Valley, a century ago, was mined for coal and iron. Eastward are igneous rock deposits of clays and bauxite. And in South Arkansas Gulf Coastal region, we have gypsum, chalk, lignite, or brown coal, as well as oil and gas, and mineral-rich brines, an export product. The ancient interior highlands also have mineral deposits of very high commercial interest. Mike Howard with the Arkansas Geological Survey.
Iron, manganese, antimony, mercury, quartz crystal, barite, novaculite, triple E, coal, natural gas, slate, shale.
Today, the state's massive shale formation, which stretches across 13 north central counties, long considered trash rock, is a very valuable mineral estate because it's rich in methane. The natural gas is extracted using slick water hydraulic fracturing or fracking after a vertical bore is drilled and cased with as many as 8 horizontal bores extending around it. Millions of gallons of pressurized water mixed with sand and tons of lubricating chemicals are shot through to crack the rock, releasing the methane. Southwestern Energy, an Australian holding company, BHP Billiton, which bought out Chesapeake Energy and Petrohawk's assets several years ago, are the main operators. And according to a new report on the economic impact of the Fayetteville Shale, more than $18.5 billion was generated over 3 years, beginning in 2008. In industry spending and jobs. State geologist Mike Howard.
Fayetteville Shale in Arkansas is the hot site for developmental drilling now. But as far as exploratory drilling and looking, there are other basins, shale basins off on the East Coast that are the hot site for leasing at the present time. It's a cyclical thing.
A cash bonus precedes a mineral lease transaction with net proceeds after expenses paid in royalties. Gross proceeds are best to negotiate, says mineral rights expert Charles Morgan. Such leaseholders may also have a say on where rigs and pipes and roads are sited. But if you don't own the mineral rights, you may end up with an extraction operation right next to your house.
In other words, when you bought that land, if you didn't get the minerals, then you sort of lose control or don't have any control over what happens on your land. The surface estate. The fellow, he is said to be subservient to the mineral estate.
And what about if you own the mineral rights on a productive shale gas unit and your neighbors have signed leases, but you don't want your land disturbed? By law, the gas industry can make you sign a lease called forced integration. Arkansas is one of 39 states that allows landholders to be forced integrated, which industry says is critical to productivity. Still, business has been really good for many working poor residential mineral estate owners. According to a recent study, $1.2 billion in mineral lease payments were paid out in recent years, but not all residents want to participate. Take Johnson County resident Barry Peltz. He purchased a small farm near Ludwig some years ago.
We bought our land in, I believe it was 1993, and we did not have any notion that the drilling would come to our front door. And one day we were there, and a man come with a clipboard and a gold chain around his neck and flashing his teeth, and it was like I'd won the lottery. He said, "We're going to put a gas well out there in your hay meadow." And I pretty much seen him packing. I didn't know who he was or what he was trying to do. And from that point on, it's been just kind of a downhill sort of thing.
Peltz is an independent HVAC refrigeration contractor. But when he was younger, he worked as a conventional gas driller in both eastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas, so understood what was coming. He did not own the mineral rights. A local church does, so he had little say in the venture. There are now 7 conventional gas wells in his neighborhood. Barry Peltz also owns 7 acres of land north of Lamar, where he initially lived. There he owns the mineral rights, but there he was forced integrated, compelled by a gas company to lease his land for a conventional gas well because a majority of his neighbors had done so. Peltz refused. His land was condemned.
And the interesting thing about that part is for the smaller landowner, you're better off not signing the lease because when you're integrated, you'll receive the maximum amount paid anybody in that section. So you'll receive the the same amount of money as the larger landowners. So you're better off not signing anything and just letting them condemn your land.
At first he was lowballed, followed by several higher offers, but that soon ended, he said, when the State Oil and Gas Commission told him to settle on a lower price.
They run interference and they pave the way for these companies to come in and take what they want, leave what they want, and do as they please.
Including, he said, a huge waste pit filled with debris and chemicals dug in his front yard on his Ludwig property. The gas well has since been plugged, but he fully expects the gas industry to return someday to frack it. And that's why advocates like Joyce Hale with the League of Women Voters has pushed the state legislature to pass a landholder's bill of rights.
The contracts are complex, and many of the people sign before they really understand what all of the problems are. It is made to look like it's going to be a very simple process, and as soon as they have gotten involved, they find out that they have been misled on many of the conditions that they're going to be living under and the financial risks that their property is going to suffer based on lost property value.
And for those who do not own the mineral estate beneath their property?
If you don't own mineral rights, you aren't even at the table of conversation as to what is going to be done in the development of that land. A Bill of Rights is necessary for landowners just to have the common courtesy of knowing what is going to be happening and having at least the opportunity to try to live around it. When people come onto their property unannounced, and there is just this a sense of violation that many of the people suffer from the superiority position that the companies have, their development rights supersede anything that has to do with the surface. But there's also problems of making sure that there is not the takings of the loss of economic value out of that land. there needs to be a very clear understanding of how the cleanup operation is going to leave the property, to make sure that companies are bonded well enough so that if there are damages, that the companies are responsible to take care of this. There are just so many things that even though the individual does not own the minerals, they have to live with this condition. And as just pure courtesy, they need to be able to have a fully informed situation.
A landholder's Bill of Rights was introduced in the last Arkansas legislative session, but was voted down in committee. Political advocate Joyce Hale says Arkansas property law is a split estate. That term traces back to English monarchs who sought to maintain mineral ownership by severing and dominating wealth providing resources, leaving the peasants only a crust of land on which to subsist. So she and members of the Arkansas Public Policy Panel plan to reintroduce a new landholders' rights bill next legislative session. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich. For FM 89 News, I'm Jacqueline Froelich in Fayetteville. For KTXK, I'm Jacqueline Froelich reporting in Fayetteville. I'm Jacqueline Froelich reporting in Fayetteville.